like a ship sailing on the sea, so rock and roll, so far from home, so far from home. I sat out in the dark, a reason to go home, and I cried. Father, we thank you. No matter how rough the sea may be, how torrential, O Lord, the stormy rain, whatever is going through, Father, in that ocean of our life, and no matter how our ship is tossed, O Lord, and sails torn apart, here we know, Father, the devil is all doing this to seek to destroy the life of your people. The storm may rage and tear our sails. It may tear our body, but it will not tear our spirit. That's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because, Father, you are watching over us from heaven above, and you have set our course, and you will guide us through the night. And yet, Father, all the time with all that storm, we find rest in the eye of that storm of life. Yes, Lord, when the storms of life are raging, you stand by us. You're always with us and will always be until the end of days, Lord, until the coming of our Lord and our Savior. Blessed be thy holy name, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for today that we can gather once again. Lord, come together and feed upon thy word, a little understanding of things here and there, Father. And give us strength to grow in maturity and to perfection, O Lord, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you. Break down the bread of life to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I just want to recap a little bit, because as I said, this is our subject on, you know, question to the wise giving. The reason why I put this was because there are still preachers out on Facebook, WhatsApp group, whatever, you know, and even sending out video from their own church, articles, and not just disagreeing with me, that's fine. They mention my name, they even distorted the word. But they could not understand a lot of things. And sometimes I would just wonder whether these people, they consider themselves wise beings. They think that they know what they do not know. So we are going to go through some of the things that we already know, perhaps refresh some of the things that you may not have come across. Let us go back to the verse that last week we ended with, Genesis chapter 6, and where I want to show you something here, Genesis chapter 6, and verse 9. And it says, these are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Now, and that's those three words that I want you to take notice. Just, perfect, and walk with God. Now, I already said this, that the firstborn of all the firstborn of the Adam, in the Adamic line, I believe they all walk with God. They are righteous because God imputed righteousness to them. And the Bible said, of course, Noah was perfect. Perfect means in a pedigree, as not as to breed, not as to, you know, a spiritual perfection or anything like that. It has to do with breed. That means they are pure subject. Now, the word here, the third word is what I want to emphasize. It says that Noah walked with God. And I said this already, the Bible said that Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Two places in the Bible you see the word walk with God. They walk with God. Enoch walk with God. Noah walk with God. And you can be sure the rest of the first one, they all walk with God. But they mention number 7, Enoch walk with God, and he was not, for God took him. He was specially chosen by God because of the way he walked with God, that God decided to take him away. You see? But Noah was the number 10, the 10th in the line of this Sethic generation. And he ended with him. And the Bible specifically said that he was just, perfect, and he walked with God. If Noah married a pure Sethic, then his firstborn would still continue down the line, as I said. Now, I want you to watch this word here, walk with God. What it is to walk with God? What does it take to walk with God? When later on, after the flood, you know, as the population increased, God looked for the man, and he found a man, Abraham. Abraham, right? And what did God tell him? Walk before me and be perfect. Walk before me. Walk here. Let me say that you go back to the day of Jesus Christ. When Christ came upon the scene, you know, he chose 12 disciples. When he chose 12 disciples, they were with him for 3 years or so. They were with him. You understand that? One day, there was this conversation. about the kingdom of God. Right, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is the Spirit of God forming a kingdom, and you are his kingdom. But to the Jew, he is looking for the physical. Christ came and walked among the Jews. They didn't know that he was a king, because he came first of all to be a savior. But they expect to look for the Messiah to come as a king to set up their kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom of God dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, Jesus was the king walking with the disciples. He was dwelling with them. He was among them. You don't mean to dwell? To dwell with you doesn't mean that I go to your house and sit in the home. I'm dwelling with you, people. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? So Jesus was dwelling among the people. He was dwelling special with the disciple, very close to the disciple. And he also said, he shall be in you. Because Christ cannot be in anyone except by the Spirit. So there is this, when you talk about dwell, there is this being with. Christ was with them. The Word was with them. He was speaking the Word of life. Later on, the Spirit of Christ live in them, dwell in them, no longer with them, but in them. What's the third thing? So when he said, what we got, three things you do. He draws with us, so we draw with him. God, is Christ with you? Is Christ dwelling with you? We said Christ dwells with me, but the problem is that, like people say, you know, I choose Christ. Go to him, but did Christ choose you? People say, I'm a Christian. Really? Are you born again? I mean, the thousands of Christians go to churches. Do you know what I found yesterday? Or 2 days ago, I think, was Sister Piper sent me a link. It was something that happened just last week. In America, the biggest organization, religious organization, one of the biggest, I would say. You heard about the Southern Baptist? Are you familiar with the Southern Baptist? In America, they always talk about the Southern Baptist, the Southern Baptist Church. Big denomination. They had a recent convention. And you know, a lot of things are happening. Rick Warren. Well, you can go again and find who he is. One of those television evangelists. He ordained 3 woman pastors. And that causes a lot of problems. You did 3 woman pastors. And there was a lot of people, some of them do not believe in that. And there was a lot of debate and argument. And he tried to justify. He said, these women are not lead pastor. They're just pastor. They're not the lead pastor. What did he get in the Bible? What did he get the archbishop and bishop nonsense? Who is the archbishop in the Bible? Oh, that's what the Catholic says, that's Peter. Because he's got a key. So Peter became the head of the church. No, no, he's the arch. He's the Holy Father. And they kiss his hand, kiss his toe, kiss everywhere on his body, and call him Holy Father. Now, what did they find in the Bible? Huh? Jesus came to serve. He did not come to be served. Right? He walked among the common folks. But because what happened in the Southern Baptist, there's a lot of problems. And there was another video that was made up. Only recently, a pastor went to the church and confessed that he committed adultery. Think about it. And the people were just nonchalant about the whole thing as if, well, this is one of those people. People commit sin. Yeah, okay. But he's a pastor. And then after they confessed, then one woman came out with the husband and said, you stole my virginity when I was 16 years old. In your office. And I was wondering, you know, why was she there in the church? In the church. Now, if I'm there, I walk out of that church. A pastor who commits adultery has no business in the pulpit. For that matter, fornication. No place in the pulpit. He's not one with the Word. He's one with lust, with the flesh. That's right. You want to think about these things. Adultery, fornication, and they're trying to justify. You know? Oh, did he commit that adultery? So, did he do it? You can do it. And that's how people look at the Bible. Look at Ahab. What did he do? He stole somebody's vineyard, right? Oh, so, well, Ahab just stole somebody's vineyard, you know? Yeah, but you look at what David did. He confessed. He repented. And God did not let him go to his first job. Look at Ahab. You think he repented? Think about Peter. Jesus said to him, to the disciple, who the man said I, the Son of Man, am? He said, oh, some they said you are a prophet, one of the prophet Jeremiah or Elijah or something like that. And Jesus said, well, who do you think I am then? None of them knew. You read the Bible, it said, as if straight away Peter exclaimed. No, he didn't. I believe that everybody looked at each other trying to find the answer. Do you know? You know, I see you. Hey, John, you were the one that sit near Christ Jesus so close. Do you know? But what did the Spirit of God give to Peter? The revelation. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Huh? And what did Jesus give to him? The key to the kingdom. But what happened later on? When Jesus said he needed to go to Jerusalem. Huh? And you know the time has come that he'll be tickled and questioned and whatever. Peter said, No, you should not go to Jerusalem. No. Right? And then Jesus said this to him, said, Peter, you deny me 3 times. No! I will deny 3 times. You think how sure Peter was? But yet, God knew Peter that would do these things, would deny him 3 times. Yet, why did God give him the key to the kingdom? Think about it. That's why I said, every one of us are foreordained of God. You did not choose God. God chose you. Oh, but God, the Bible said, you know, they're the 5 million earliest of. You know, okay, let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Yeah, a lot of people won't take this verse. Chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. See, the Bible said that. God said that those who seek me early will find me. Oh, so you seek God early, you find God means that you choose God. Huh? He's talking about the rebellious people, the sinner, those who, you know, all those who just, there's no God stuff like that, perhaps, and worship idol, things like that. But once you heart, you come to a state where you realize that you need God. And you search for God. God said, you will find me. Let's go to another verse. Proverbs chapter 1, 28-29. Then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, they shall not find me. Hey, what's this? One moment God said, you find me, search for me early, and you find me. Here he said, you search for me, you will not find me. Your Bible, your Christian Bible, are full of discrepancy, confusion. I have friends told me that. So the thing is this, we must look within the context.
These are rebellious people.
You know, there are people, I know of people that don't believe in God. But when they are dying, they are afflicted with diseases, they are dying and you get pain, you know they are dying. Then the word God comes out from your mouth. Oh Lord, oh God, God. That's why I look for God. Huh? Yep, I know people that when they are dying on death, then a Buddhist friend comes along, you know, said some mantra or whatever. What is that? Mantra? I call it mantra? Chanting those things, mantra, say some mantra, say some sutra, whatever. Then maybe some other religious still come, religious friend came, and ask him to believe in this and this. Ah, okay. Then a Christian friend come along and ask him to believe in Jesus Christ, you know, your sin will be forgiven and you can go to heaven. Oh, okay. They believe everyone! God knows them that are his. So when we go back to Genesis 6:9, and Noah walked with God. Yes. He dwells with us, we dwell with him. Right? He is in us. We must be in him. That's the second thing. The third thing, the word walk. Walk with him, walk in him, walked the word. Remember my message on my treasure? Huh? I don't need to dwell with the word. I dwell in the word. And I walk the word. Remember this. If you can't remember what Jesus said to Peter. When they were out there in the sea of Galilee. Peter said to Jesus, he said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come. Wow. You know, the faith of Peter, the boldness. And Jesus said, standing on the sea there, Peter in the boat, come. Just one word, four letters. C-O-M-E. What did Peter do? He stepped off the boat, he put his foot down on the first letter, E. Hey, I'm walking. Next letter, M. Me. Me. Oh, you know, sometimes when people have a lot of faith. Initially, people want, even in the charismatic, I have seen Pentecostal. So perhaps, you know, when they took the first step off the boat and he was standing on the sea, then he stepped the next step, you're still there. Hey, the water is supporting me. Later another step. Oh my. And the sea, the wave didn't move. And the next moment he fell, he went under the sea. C-O-M-E. E-M. Me. Me. Went under the sea. What was Peter doing? He was not walking on the water. I want you to know, he had the faith. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Come. One word. Peter stood up. He was walking on the wood. But when he was walking on the wood, one step, two step. You know, sometimes when we can act on the faith, we begin to doubt. How many of you have done that? Yes! Don't tell me you don't. Why not? You see, you know, I remember my brother Bram, I think it was a woman who came out to Brother Bram, you know, after Brother Bram said praying for the cancer. I don't know what it was for her or for somebody else. And said the person gets sicker after a week. You know, Brother Bram said, he's alright, whatever. And then he's getting sick. Problem said this. The cancer cell is alive. But now it's dead. And when it's dead, When anything dies, it's sort of a blotted out. You know, when you've got a carcass on there, you get blotted out, right? It's make a person sicker, you know. And that's what it is. People are beginning to doubt. So Peter began to doubt as he walked on the water. One step, two step. Oh, you see the wave. His eye was out of Christ. When Christ had come, they one step away, Christ. He then looked at the water. The sea was raging. Oh, no, no, no. And he began to sink under the sea. And Jesus reached out to him and he came. Walk with the Word. Walk in the Word. Walk the Word. We can say we can confess with our mouth, but our action is not there. Many times our action as a Christian is not there. Our manifestation as Christian is not there. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So much for that. So you remember. When we say what we got, remember three things. Read the Word, in the Word, and walk the Word. All right. Now let's go to Genesis. Let us read this before we go to the chart. Genesis chapter 9. Verse 18 onwards. All right. And the son of the son of Noah that went forth of the ark was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, and placed it upon their shoulders, and went backward, and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his youngest son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant, and God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tent of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." I'm putting out this question answer thing for the benefit of those out on Facebook, out in Africa, or those who are questioning. Then they may really understand, try to understand. Now, I said last week, the Bible is not a simple book for you to understand. Remember that there are always mysteries, God hid it. And it's not intent by every Tom, Dick, and Harry to think that they can interpret the scripture. If everybody can read the Bible and interpret the scripture, God do not have to send preachers. He do not have to send, I mean, he does not have to send apostles, proper evangelists, and teachers anymore. Right? And then we don't even have to have churches. All we have to do is that contribute money to bring Bibles and give it to everybody in the world to read it. And you know, a lot of them realize something. Some people say the Bible is simple to understand, but to some people in Africa, the Bible is a bush. So you see the problem we face? But understanding the Bible, as I said, I want to help you understand when you do your own study. Now, the son of Noah, the father of the ark, was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Full stop. Don't read the rest. Okay, go read the rest, and we read the next one over here. And Noah, so on and so forth, and Noah during the wine was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brothers without. Don't read the father of Canaan. Then don't read Ham is the father of Canaan. It still makes sense, right? Why did the Bible mention, I said, this man come? Give it to me. When God says something and he repeats it, you take note. If he did not repeat it, you don't have to worry too much. When he repeats it, that means there is something, a mystery here. He wants to call your attention. Here he mentioned the three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of kings. Why all of a sudden he mentioned this? If I have three sons, I will tell my friend who will be saying, oh, this is my first son, second son, third son, and the second son is the father of such and such. Why do I mention that? When God mentioned it, that means he called attention, then he repeats here again. And Ham, the father of Cain. Ham, the father of Cain. Ham is the father of Cain. You need to understand something about Canaan. A question will come up, is who then is Canaan? He's the father of Canaan. Who then is Canaan? Now if you go back, see what it says here now. This word here, verse 24. And Noah awoke from his wife and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Here, in this verse, there are still children struggling with that. What do you mean by the youngest son? Was it Ham? Or was it Canaan? Now, do you know that grandfather in the Bible you find, oh, Laban. You know who Laban is? Laban is the grandson of Nahor. Okay? And yet, the Bible says Nahor called his son. It's a grandson. Now, my Adam is my grandson, right? I can call him son, come in. And you know, it's more of a relationship by calling someone, like in Arabic, the Arab call the brother peer. When he calls me, he says, hey, hello, brother Dan, Habibi, how are you, Habibi? You know, well, Habibi, Habibi, how are you, Habibi? Means someone you love. You know, someone who is close to, someone you treasure. You know. Or you call someone, yes, my dear. He said, well, I'm not your wife, or I'm not your girlfriend, why you call me my dear? But it's just an endearment term. You see? So, there are some that think that this younger son referred to Canaan. But doesn't make sense, does it? How could it be Canaan that Noah said there was Canaan did something to him? There were some that believed that. But of course, they can prove it. But the problem is this. Because of the curse of Canaan, they believe it was referring to Canaan. But the whole context of this paragraph makes you realize it was Ham. Do you understand that? And of course, the word younger in the word Hebrew, it means the little one. So, to many, the little one could also be interpreted as the last in the line. Okay, the youngest, not necessarily so, but just the little. Now, so what we have is that Hebrew words cannot be actually translated exactly to precisely what the English word should be. You can't. The only thing is to read between the context. That's why the rabbi, the Jewish sages and all those said you cannot translate our Bible into another language. You will lose all the nuances and the subtlety of the words. Which is very true. Huh? And you try to translate Chinese into English. If you don't behave yourself, you're going to jiao pong bian. You know, jiao pong bian. You all know what Hokkien, right? Okay, so you will not understand jiao pong bian. You know, pong bian means a biscuit that's popped up. And then you get into trouble with your boss. I mean, there's a lot of words, expression, we just figuratively cannot be literally translated. Cannot translate that you get into trouble with the boy, you'll be eating a popped up biscuit. What's that? It doesn't have any sense. You know? So, we realize that here it is talking about hemp. Now, the thing is that there are those that argue. Now, here in this, well, still going on in Africa, mainly. There is this preacher that said, you know, Brother Gam preaches this. I disagree with what he teach. Why? Brother Gam does not preach it. Brother Churchill didn't preach it. When you hear a minister or any Christian that make a confession like this, something is very wrong. Don't tell when people ask you about some doctrine, you don't say, oh, my pastor Brother Gam don't preach it. So we don't believe it. That means something is wrong. I become your absolute. I'm not your absolute. I'm not your authority. As far as revelation of the word is concerned. Huh? Absolute authority is only of the church concerning the feeding of the word and the care of the people. But when it comes to the truth, the absolute is always the word. Nothing else. So when the preacher talk like this, Brother didn't preach it. Brother Jackson didn't preach it. Then Brother Jackson, Brother Branham are his authority, not the Bible. You go to denominational church, whether it's with the Baptist, Methodist, the Church of South India, the Sri Lankan Church, or Salonis Church, whatever, Filipino Church, in Nicristo, Church of Christ there, huh? Elohim, whatever, that one over there in Mindanao, the Davao, or something, Baptist Church. He worship as God. Son of God, right? He worship as God. What is his name? Yeah, Kiboloi. He's the authority. Those people are the authority. And if you ever, when people ask you questions, I tell you about something, asking you questions, do you believe in this? Don't give them a silly answer. Say, oh, my church don't believe this. What do you mean my church don't believe this? Because the church is not your authority even. You are part of the church. Don't say, my church don't believe in this. My pastor don't believe in this. No. You answer with your own confidence. Well, the church, the Bible did not teach you as far as I know. You know, it's talk like this. Or the Bible teaches is what I believe. You refer your authority to an institution. I'm Baptist. Baptist church don't believe this. Huh? I'm Anglican. Anglican church don't believe in this. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you have somebody who is Anglican or Presbyterian that believe in baptism of a child, right? Then I ask him, you're not Presbyterian, do you believe in this? Don't say, my church don't believe in this. Don't say that. Just say, the Bible didn't teach this. And tell them what you know is by immersion. Immersion means you put them in the water. And the baby cannot confess. Like what you can give an example of the eunuch. Philip asked him, do you believe? He said, yes. Then you may be baptized. You have a baby. Elizabeth. Or maybe Joseph. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and you confess it? Do you think the baby say, I believe? He know how to say, I believe? No. So we have the whole world, the church in the world today is so messed up. No wonder God has to give us a message to God. It's in the Bible. Come out of her, my people. That's right. Mother and her harlots. Who is the mother of harlots? Catholicism. The Catholic Church. The very first church. That's why they say we are the mother church. Right? Remember? They used the word. Isn't that right? We are the mother church. And you are all. The Protestant came from us. Which is true. They are the daughters. It's there in the Bible and they don't see it.
mother of harlots,
prostitute.
Right.
The churches are prostituting the word of God. With man-made creeds and man-made ideas and traditions.
Are we serious about the word of God? I know that. There's another one that told me this. Oh, brethren. What do we need to understand this? What do we need to understand this? Then he asked me this question. If I don't believe in this, if I don't understand this, I don't see this thing, I don't hold to it, will I lose my salvation? Very clever question. Will I lose my salvation? It's the same thing. But again, do I need to know what the Moses law says about this and that? Will I lose my salvation? Of course, salvation has nothing to do with whether you know this or you don't know that. Do you understand? Salvation is whether you know Him and He knows you. How many of you here know Modi? You know who Modi is? Ah, you know him? Oh, you know him? Oh, he doesn't know you. Does he know you? Does he know your presence? Right? Does he know you? A lot of people say, Christian, go to church. I know Jesus. Hallelujah. But the question is, does Jesus know you? That's the thing. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. Other voices, they will not follow. But here we have in Philippines, people, a lot of people follow him. There is boy. Oh, he's the Son of God. What are we following? My goodness. Please don't follow me. Don't follow me. Follow the word. I only can guide you and tell you what the word, what the light is, and you follow. That's true. So, those that argue over this thing, wanted to disagree with it, put it away. Now, let's go to this. This is the Bible verse that tells you what was the sin of Ham. Now, as I said, many believe that the sin of Ham was, Ham one day came into the tent of father and mother and then saw the father naked on the floor because Noah was drunk. And he was naked. So he stood there and, woo! My father is naked. He go and tell his brother, my father is naked. I saw him, this and that. Come on! Would any person who sinned went to a tent or to a room where the father is naked and start to ogle? Oh, my father is naked now. He's like that now. This and that. Do you think anybody who said things like that? If you see a father naked, all you do is take a blanket quick and cover him up. Then you wonder what's what happened to my father. Oh, he's drunk. That's why he just, you know, when people don't do crazy things. Nobody. Then, do you think any person went out there and tell the brother and sister, you know what happened in that? I see my father naked, you know. You don't do that. You go out and tell your brother or your sister, I think we have a problem. Dad's been drinking too much. And at this time he's so drunk, he was found naked in the room. That's all you would say. You know, to say perhaps you can do something to help him get away from alcohol. Not to make fun of the fact that that is nonsense. But this has been taught in churches. And even in intermessage churches. So what is this? Why can't they accept it? The word here that we see earlier on. The
Leviticus, let's read Leviticus 18:7-11. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shall you not uncover. She is your mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shall not thou not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. That is related, right? Brother and sisters, right? Whether it's a sister by a sibling, yeah. Sibling, whether it is the half sibling or full sibling, you cannot uncover. That means you're not allowed to have intermarriage with someone near of kin. Now, this is in Leviticus already. It's the law that's been passed. You cannot marry your brother, you cannot marry your sister, you cannot marry your father's wife. Do you understand? The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness, thou shalt not uncover. For theirs is thy own, for there is thy own nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover nakedness. Now all these are very simple to understand. The nakedness. The word nakedness does not mean naked as in physical nakedness. It's an expression. You cannot look upon the nakedness of your father. It doesn't mean that you saw him, you see your father now. Look for example. When Zohar was young, bringing him up, one of the ways to teach the birds and the bees. Yes? Shower him, shower together. Is there anything wrong? When I was young, I remember I went to the swimming pool. You know, after the people swim, they go out there and shower, they change. People, they're all naked. Army boys, I don't know whether it's true or not in Singapore, but you know, after you go for your exercise, then you all go back to your barrack, you've got to wash, clean, and shower. You all shower together, right? Or you all shower individually, I don't know. But, all the guys in the room, yeah. So what's wrong with that? It's not about the physical nakedness. It's the uncovering of your father's nakedness is to uncover what your father can see of your mother. Only your father can see your mother's nakedness, which is his nakedness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now here I'm not pulling punches here. I'm not going to say, you know what I mean, huh? Of course you don't know what I mean. When a couple is married, they enter into a nuptial chamber. Right? You know the story about Isaac? Who married, supposed to marry Rachel? And what did he get? He got here. Oh, Jacob, sorry, I'm going to miss something. Jacob. He got here. Right, Leah. He said, probably Leah or Leah? The father-in-law tricked him. And of course, there's a lot of conspiracy or conniving going on. Don't switch on the light. Remember the barbaric sermon called, there's a man who can turn on the light. There is a man who can turn on the light of God's word. Who is that man? Come on. Who is the man that can turn on the light of God's word? It's Christ himself. So, Jacob waited in the room for Rachel, but it wasn't Rachel. It was Leah.
But of course, there was all in the wedding gown all covered up. Honey, don't turn on the light, please. I'm kind of shy. Okay, honey. No light. No light. Sister's voice always sounds alike most of the time, right? You know, you all agree with that? Yeah. So, real women pretend to be racial. So they make love in the dark. They saw each other's nakedness in the dark. And in the morning, when the sun gets up, when Jacob got up, he turned and looked, ah! That's not Rachel! He was upset, he went and complained, he said, what? And of course the father-in-law said, you know, it's not a custom to give the young one to be married first, you got to marry the first one. See, if you don't turn on the light, you don't see. If God doesn't turn on the light of this world, you don't see. I want you to know that. There is a man that can turn on the light, and that's why when we are married to Christ, we get into the nuptial chamber. We went into the wedding, right? We went in the marriage chamber. He wants to turn on the light. You cannot tell Lord Jesus, don't turn on the light. What? That means you are sin. And when you are a sinner, you live in darkness. You want to dwell in darkness. You know the Bible said, you know what the Bible said? The thief and all those evil guys, they only come out at night. So you want to dwell in darkness? When Christ made love to you, he switched on the light. Right! You want to have spiritual intercourse, spiritual communion with you and me? He turned on the light to see you, to see your character, to see your behavior, to see whether you're clean. Today, the churches don't even, the pastor don't even know how to turn on the light too. They should be turning on the light. But they're always using all the tradition. And the Bible said, God is light, in him is no tradition. Remember the word? First John, I think First John somewhere there, 1 John 1:5 or somewhere. God is light, in him is no darkness. If you look at that word darkness, search it out in the Greek word, it tells you it means simply tradition. Anything that is not of God is a tradition, is darkness. That's why Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees and religious leaders, right? You make the word of God of no effect because of your tradition. The traditions of the elders. It brings darkness. And if you said you are a Christian, and if you don't hold to the word of God, you only hold to the creeds of the church and the dogmas of the church. You do all that science, not going to do you any good. I want to tell you that. You can even pray 5 times a day. Even though you're no good. If you are still walking in tradition. Do you understand what I'm saying? Tradition is dangerous. And people are not aware of it. And they're just walking by. Sunday today is Sunday. Around the world, thousands and thousands and hundreds and thousands of people go to church. And many times they are there for a good time. Is it not true? They are there to socialize. So, understanding this, Leviticus is already here. And it's one of the five books of Moses. The first five books of Moses. You know that there are book of written by Moses. The Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. The five books of Moses. When was it written? And where did Moses wrote those five books? Do you know? How old was Moses when he died? You said, no. Come on. 120. He's the lawgiver. So to speak, you know, God is the lawgiver, but he gave it to Moses to give it to the children of Israel. So people just call him the lawgiver.
And 120 is a number of probation. 40. He was in the palace of Pharaoh. Then what happened? No good. Huh? You had to fight for it the next 40 years to 80. And the 80th year he went out of Egypt. And he was out there in the wilderness for 40 years. And he died out there. It was out there in the desert that he sat down and wrote those 5 books. He sat down and God gave him the understanding, the revelation, the vision to see the beginning of the creation of the heaven and earth. Do you know? How many years was it after the flood? Roughly, I think about 80 years. I will believe about 80 years after the flood. He wrote the book. I mean, 2,800, something around there here. After the creation of the heaven and the earth. He wrote those 5 books. Now, the thing is that those that disagree, even today, in the lead apostle, was here, disagree with the word nakedness of thy father. The word nakedness of thy father is not comparable to the one in Genesis. And one preacher said, what happened in Genesis, in chapter 6, regarding Ham saw the nakedness of his father. The term the nakedness, saw the nakedness of his father, has nothing to do with the same meaning in the book of Leviticus. I beg your pardon. He was unexplained after so many years down the road. What? The meaning changes. Oh. A meaning of a word don't change. Meaning of the word will be added more meaning. You know what I'm saying? A word has only one meaning. But as time passes by, there are more meaning to this word. Hey, it's a jungle out there. It's a jungle out there. Where? In New York City. Don't go to New York City, it's a jungle out there. What do you mean by the word jungle? If you don't know the idiom to this word, how they play with the word, then you say, jungle out there, you mean it's a jungle? No, it's not a jungle as you get jungle tree, all those forests and all those trees. No. A jungle out there means it is when you go to the jungle, what do you fear most? Wild people. Danger. So New York is a jungle. It means you can get mocked, you can get killed. Like predators. And you can get wasted out there. Wasted out there. What do you mean by wasted out there? I'm going to enjoy life, I'm going to eat and enjoy. What do you mean by wasted out there? You mean your life can be extinct. You wasted your life. How words? 1 minute, over years, what have additional meaning? When people wanted to exercise it, make use of the word for expression. The nakedness of the father, or the nakedness of the man, the term never changed. Even today, you can bring it out and use it. So they want to do away with it because they cannot accept that it was Ham. But I said this first thing again, I asked this question. But why did the Bible emphasize that Ham was the father of Canaan? Why? It has to do with something with Ham committed a sin that produces Canaan. Obviously. But if Ham just saw the father's nakedness, why did the father curse his son? Ham's son. He said, Noah cursed his grandson. Canaan, the last. He was the youngest of the grandson. Why would Noah do that? Why? When the Bible already tells you, the law said, an eye for an eye.
Right? A hand for a hand. A life for a life. Blood for blood. So what had Canaan done? That God should curse Canaan. There are a lot of us still struggling trying to understand this. I don't understand how come it's so difficult. When I'm trying to explain it, why? Is it because your mind are blocked up because you don't make up your decision? Just think. Alright, let's go down to some verses now. If we talk about word changes, later on in the book of Genesis chapter 4, we go to Genesis chapter 4. We see what the word, the first usage of the word for wedlock. Okay? For the man and woman to come together to produce a child. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. Right? You see the word new? What do you mean by the word new? Now, if I were to say, a new John. What does it mean for you? It means I know him before. If I have known somebody, you know, famous, let's say for example, and if I were to live in the days of William Branham, perhaps, you know, Branham passed away in 65. Let's say back in 65, I met Brother Branham and stayed with him for a few days. Now I can tell you, I knew Brother Branham. I use the word, I knew Brother Branham. But if I were to say to you, I knew my wife, what does it mean? In ancient language at that time, it's a different meaning, right? See, it's just a word different. But you must understand, and the Bible says that Adam knew his wife, and then of course conceived. Okay, now, later on, let's go to Genesis 16, verse 4. So now the word God used are not different words now. God used the word in Genesis 16:4, and he went in unto Hagar. Now that's Abraham went in unto Hagar. Went in unto Hagar. He didn't say, and Abraham knew Hagar. He just used the word, he went in unto Hagar. That means he went in to copulate with Hagar and produces Ishmael. So did the word change here? But still, same meaning. It means union. Then, go again further down into Genesis 1933. Oh, not 1933, the year, I mean, chapter 19, verse 33. And you see how the word here is used now, and they led their father, and they make their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. Not talking about Lot and the two daughters. Now the word use lay with. Lay with. Every couple that's married, when they go on a honeymoon, they lay with each other. Right? Yes. They knew each other. The husband went in unto the wife. And so on. These are just the expression of words. Different words, but same meaning. But you cannot use these three different phrases to say, you see, the word uncovered and nakedness has nothing to do with sex. It means, simply means that Ham saw the father lying naked in the room.
Wow. You want to blind yourself to the fact that Leviticus tell you the whole truth.
Leviticus tell you the whole truth. God had Moses wrote Genesis with that phrase. And Ham saw the nakedness of his father. Then later on, he wrote in the book of Leviticus. Remember, they spent 40 years out there. Right? Now he's using the law. You know, giving the law, he used this word back again. Not like what was in other in Genesis earlier. He used this in Leviticus. So, how is it that Leviticus' meaning is a different meaning of that in Genesis chapter 6? How is it different? How is it?
Well, they want to argue that, you know, the difference of years. Genesis to Leviticus times about 2,500 years.
2,500 years.
And Moses wrote a book 2,000 something like that. I don't know. This is just a rough pitch.
Well, how is it so? I said, okay. If you do not believe that that Ham committed incest, because you argue about the different words, that the words should be like Ham knew his mother, or Ham went into his mother, or Ham lay with his mother.
Then I ask the question, who was Canaan?
Just tell me who was Canaan.
Why did God curse Canaan?
What did God curse Canaan?
That is the question you need to understand, to answer. If you cannot answer the question, you mean you don't know who Canaan is, or who Canaan was. One smart preacher who called himself the middle apostle tried to use this one particular passage of scripture to argue.
Habakkuk,
woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink, and that put thy brother to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou may look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory, drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spirit shall be thy glory. Now, they are trying to use this uncovered and the nakedness to be the same as the one in Genesis chapter 6. Just merely seeing. Let me tell you something. A son who saw the nakedness literally of the father did not commit sin. Do you know that? Unless you go and peep. You understand what I'm saying? A people peeping, a peeping Tom. You know all the cases, even in campus, university, whatever. They take mobile phone, take picture, a woman changing, or whatever in the bathroom. There is no sin for the son to see the nakedness literally of the father or the mother. And I always ask one question. If I ask the man, if your mother or your father is old and sick and lying in bed, and you're the only one who can take care, so how are you going to take care of him? Or wear a mask? Is that what you're going to do? What? You see, how foolish can preacher be sometimes?
You're trying to be smart, but they will understand. Did the Bible say that a son to see the father's physical nakedness is a sin? They misread this verse. Because why? This Bible you hold in your hand, the King James Version. The Bible was first translated in King James Version, in the English Version, back in those days, in the time of Puritans. And Puritans don't want to talk about sex. And those men and women dress all long, right? Covered everything. And even back in those days, it is even a shame for a woman to show just the leg. The leg, this portion. Can you see? Yeah. That's what it means, the leg. He wants to see the ankle. It's a no-no. Today, wow. Everything shrink to one piece. Shrink to two pieces. Shrink until what you have is nothing but a fig leaf. Swimsuit. You see how mankind is like now? They have lost their mind. So think about it. Now, the word nakedness has two different words. Ma'al, eva. Nakedness, that is, in plural, the pudendo. What is pudendo? The proper parts. Your reproductive parts. It's called a pudendo. Okay, the other one is nudity. Literally nude. Especially the pudendo. And that's why it's very important for a woman to sit properly. Huh? Don't spread your leg. What's wrong? I know a little girl when you grow up, like for example, Hazel. You know? Little girl, raise up. Raising up girls like Zoe when she was young, or anyone who girl, teach them how to sit properly. You see that? Huh? That is why you see the word here, exposure, pudendo, or figuratively, disgrace, blemish, nakedness, shame, unclean. That's what this verse serves to, but just here mean. Let thy foreskin be uncovered. Array. A primitive robe properly to strip. That use only has humility from blah blah blah. Expose or remove the pubis. Whether literally to go naked or figuratively to refrain from using. Counted uncircumcised. Foreskin to be uncovered. So, what is only said here is that don't go and give your neighbor dream. Huh? So that you see their nakedness, two cents. Nakedness, you know, they uncover themselves, because, yeah, one sense of the word. Second sense of the word is what? Huh? You're exposed. You know, when people are drunk, they start to talk rubbish. And when they start to talk things, they talk, the person put himself in a very vulnerable spot. He talked about his affair with this one. You know, your mind is gone, everything's exposed. Exposed! Naked. Your nakedness of what you are, your nakedness of the body, the way you lie down. My, we finished with this. Let's go to the next one before we close. I still have about 10 minutes. So this is another question that comes in. This is about the same guy who questioned me. I know he's not fighting against me. I don't know why. I have been to his church, preached there back then. And he went through a lot of problems, and then he's back again to square one. His ministry is reporting Brother Branham. His ministry produced what is known as fivefold ministry. Ephesians 4:11, just as the ministry of Apostle Paul produces Timothy, Titus, and other, and some other have fivefold ministry. Please don't tell me that the message of the Star Messenger has become stale food, or is over, or is invalid, or have expired just because the Star Messenger has died. You are wrong, because Moses died, Elijah died, Paul died, Peter died, William Graham died, but their message cannot die because it is the Word of God. It is easier to talk like this, but if you have anyone have been convinced to look at it, you will discern something is wrong. First of all, this person do not believe.
that a fivefold ministry is a different ministry from Brother Branham. That we, the fivefold ministry, can only perfect the bride after the bride is restored back to the Word. If you come back to the Word of God, then the fivefold ministry can come into its manifestation. The fivefold ministry cannot do what it is stated in Ephesians chapter 4. In the early years, before the message was ever given to call the bride out from all this denomination confusion. You understand? Now he said that program ministry produces what is known as a fivefold ministry. Ephesians 4, just as the ministry of Paul produces Timothy, Titus, and some others. Now let me ask you, did Paul's ministry produce Titus, Timothy, Silvanus, and all the others? Did he? Huh? Or you must ask that Peter, the ministry also produced the others, some others. No. Brother ministry did not produce a fivefold ministry. He is a star messenger, seven star in your hand. That is one category of ministry. Then the fivefold ministry is another category of this ministry. It is not this ministry of the star produced this ministry of fivefold. No. The star ministry had his own ministry. All he did was to call for the elect out of darkness into the world. Then when they are in the world, then the fivefold ministry will come into play. Not because Brother Branham produced the fivefold ministry. Brother Paul did not produce the ministry of Timothy, Titus. They were just his disciples. He taught them. You understand? Paul did not choose Timothy. He did not choose Titus. And some of us follow me. No? They were the ones who were the fruit, we will say, of Paul's ministry. You agree with that? And they followed Paul. And they saw Paul's life. And they followed Paul as Paul followed Christ. He wasn't producing them. You can say that in a certain way. Like for example, my ministry produces you people. In a sense. But it is not a true sense. It's because God has raised me up, as in the prophecy of 1972. I raised you up for one purpose. That I might have a people. I raised you up with a standard. Because I want a people. And that your ministry will be a blessing to those out there. I'm paraphrasing. That was mine, 72. That's about it. The next one here. Please don't tell me that the message of the star messenger was still free. No, you can listen to Brother Branham's message, no problem. Brother Branham's son, Joseph Branham. He's still telling, he's putting out articles and saying, why is not the churches in every message listen to the most important message? That is his father's, Brother Branham. Why is not the church playing the tape of Brother Branham's? You see, we're not here together and play a tape of Brother Branham. Because God has a leading ministry. Oh, but the message of Barbara is a leading message. Of course it's a leading message. But here we are gathered here for the ministry according to the word of the Lord in Ephesians 4:11. Ministering life. You want this on your tape of Brother Branham? Take it. Go home and listen to it. You can hear it online because it is there on the website. That's no problem. But for us together just to play the tape, it's a no-no. That's not how God works. I'm afraid I have to say that. Because that's the truth. Alright, Brother Mary died. Paul died. Peter died. The Messiah cannot die because it's the Word of God. Of course we know it's the Word of God. Let me ask you one question. Is the Word of John Wesley? John Wesley died. Is his Word still the Word of God? The Word he preached is the Word of God. Why are we not listening to it? Why are we not going back to it? Did the Methodists play tape? Of course, no tape. Did the Methodists go to the church and one person read one sermon of John Wesley? Do they do that? What about the Lutheran? Luther has written some messages. Why don't they gather around and read the message of Luther? Of course, we know they died. Any messages of God will still remain and still be a blessing to people. That's true. Polycarps, Arrhenius. They're still right. You can agree on life, won't you? The message of God is ever unfolding. This Bible is a message. You agree with that? Hold on, message. It is still unfolding. As I read something, I see something is unfolding. Revelation is always progressive. It never dies. It never stops. But you say, I close my Bible, I listen to only Brother Brown's message. Something is very wrong. Huh? I don't have to go to church. I turn to the book of Moses and read Exodus. Is that what you want? When we gather here every Sunday, there are 66 books in the Bible. If you read 5 chapters a day, it takes us 1 year to finish. But we are not here every day. So every Sunday we come here, spend 1 hour reading as many chapters as you can, and stop and say, praise the Lord, you may go home now. Is that what we want? The war is in this stage, brother and sister. No wonder the Bible, what Bible says, so true. There's darkness. Even the Bible says there's darkness throughout the land. Back then in Israel, there's darkness throughout the world. Spiritual darkness. I'm not talking about physical darkness. People are so religious, they don't think that they are in darkness. No. They go to temple, they go to mosque, they go to churches, they go to all the shrine, whatever. But they are in darkness. Let us remember the light gospel and let us feed on it. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you. Praise your holy name, Father. We thank you for thy word. We know, Lord, there's so much thing we are still learning. Let the nugget here, let the nugget there, as we go along this life journey, feed us and strengthen us. Help us to be a people that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we not need just walk with the word. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Not just to be walking in the word as Christ is in us. But let us walk the Word of God. Let us be truly worthy of the gospel, Lord. Feed us, Father. Grant us your grace. Bless the rest of the day. Bless the message in Jesus' name.